Hi, this is Alex Ragone, and what follows is webcast number 4 of the Alex Ragone and Arvin Grover 21st Century Learning webcast. Please check out our archives at http://agar-webcast.wikispaces.com. We hope you enjoy this interview with Lori Bartels and a conversation about the Collaborative Commons. Here we go. So this is the Alex Ragone and Arvin Grover webcast. Am I getting an echo there?
Yeah, you are.
Lori.
Hi.
You're making us echo.
You gotta turn your speakers down, Lori.
Okay.
Turn your speakers down.
How's that?
Let's see. That's better.
Yep.
There we go. Great. It's like being on the radio.
Yeah.
You have to turn the radio off in the background.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So this is Alex Ragone and my co-host, Arvin Grover, and we have Lori Bartels on the line today discussing the Collaborative Commons. And before we start our discussion with Lori, Arvin has he's been working on our feed, and so he's going to do some instructions on that.
Sure. For those of you who are out there listening live, of course you can listen live whenever we do the show on Fridays, but you can also always get the podcast later. And you can download individual MP3 files if you want. Alex posts those in the evening after the show, usually. But you can automatically set up your computer to just download the shows as they come out. So that's basically what a podcast feed is. So if you have iTunes on your computer, which is free, or if you get a program like Juice, which is free, you can simply subscribe to our podcast. And the feed is actually listed right on our wiki. So if you go to our wiki page, agar-webcast.wikispaces.com, you'll see a link for our podcast feed. Just go ahead and click right on that link, and you'll get the installation instructions. And you'll even find us in the iTunes podcast directory under K-12 Education. So a lot of different ways to get the past shows, and hopefully those are helpful for people to listen to later.
Great. So everybody should check us out. Lori, you've used our feed, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
So and
how's
it worked.
It out there in Rye?
Yeah, there we go.
We had some tech support emails this week.
Yeah.
But it seems to be working now. How are my levels? I got loud.
Sounds good here.
Okay, great. I'm working on a new mic. So I'm learning how to talk into it.
Well, I took my cue from something you said last week, and I experimented with mics for today.
Yeah.
But I tried a headset with a microphone, and I couldn't get it to work. So I'm just using a mic without the headset part.
That's great. That's what I have right here. This is a new USB mic. And I have one headphone on because I get an echo every time I talk. So I get to hear you guys twice.
Lucky you.
So, Lori, tell us about Collaborative Commons.
Well, back in January on the ISED listserv, Fred posted an email where he started out by comparing changes in computing power over the past 25 years. And at the end of that, he posed a bunch of questions, mainly in terms of all this new computing power, what implications does that have for what we can do in school, how we can teach, what we can teach. And it got me thinking that, I'm going to digress for a second, part of my job is to provide professional development at school. So it got me thinking, what can I do for my faculty this summer that taps into the possibilities for the future? And I came up with the Collaborative Commons, which hopefully will work because it's really been developing. The more I learn, the more the Commons develops. And it's interesting because the Commons is posted or began on a wiki, the idea for it. And I do go back and check the previous pages, and I get a kick out of seeing the progression of how the ideas have to gel.
Can you give us a little bit of a sort of a basic, so for someone who's never heard of the Commons, what expect from it?
The goal is to expose faculty to wikis, blogs, webcasts, video conferencing, to help them get a basic vocabulary and understanding of what those technologies are, to be able to collaborate using those technologies to talk about how can they use them in their classes, would they even want to use them in their classes, why should they use them in their classes, and to also give them an inkling of what maybe some of their students are already involved in. Probably our school is not the only school that had interesting incidents this year regarding MySpace and other social sharing sites and files that get shared outside of school. And a lot of faculty weren't even familiar with what some of those technologies were and some of those places were. So I thought, we got to get the faculty up to speed with the kids.
Right.
What, faculty catching up with students?
My hope is that the Collaborative Commons will be a safe place for people to ask all sorts of questions, to make mistakes, learn from each other. But what's fascinated me about it is when I sent out the initial invitation on the ISED listserv, there were about 40-some-odd people who went to the URL for the Commons, which was great, and they came from schools from all across the United States, but of those 40-some-odd people, only 18 people have felt comfortable, for whatever reason, actually putting themselves out there on the wiki pages. And of those 18, about 11 or 12 are all IT people. And when I originally thought of this, I thought, what a great way to get non-IT people involved. So I haven't quite figured out how it came to be the way it did, except maybe it's IT people who are more comfortable with the technology and willing to register and put themselves out there. But for anyone who's listening, especially if you're an IT person who's already registered, bring along at least one more faculty member from your school who's not an IT person.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. You're trying to use the tools themselves that you want them to learn to get them involved beforehand. So maybe they need to come to the Commons before they can participate in the Commons Wiki.
No, I think you're probably right. And I don't know how to get those people there because it's definitely an issue of, you know, how do I reach people beyond the boundaries of my own school to tell them about this and then hold their hand if they need that or whatever is necessary to get them to go to the website and check it out and then feel comfortable putting themselves into it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely an IT or technology people are going to be more comfortable here just because it's our space, I guess.
Yeah.
But I, and you know, one of my, the things I haven't done here at Collegiate, in terms of the Collaborative Commons, is really get it out there for faculty. One of the problems is that our school year hasn't ended when you're going, when you start doing these professional days.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of one of the reasons I haven't pushed it here.
Yeah.
But I do plan on using it as a resource during our professional development days for faculty this summer.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it occurred to me that all the planning and development that's going into it, I realized I can use it all during next year with my faculty. It's not the kind of thing that's static, you know, that it has to happen on the 3 days in June, and if it doesn't happen then, well, it's over and done with. I think it can be used ongoing. And I hope people do eventually do that and build on it, which is the other interesting thing. I keep wanting other people to help set the tone of the Commons, and I've been talking to Fred about this, and he said, well, you came up with the idea, so maybe people are looking to you to sort of pave the pathway. So it's an interesting, it's a fine line between wanting to pave and wanting to pull other people in, and how to get people to not be embarrassed or shy or feel awkward or whatever it is that, you know, might stop someone from jumping in. Interestingly, while the wiki has been mostly my input, I started a blog for the Collaborative Commons, and there have been quite a few people who have blogged besides myself. So maybe the blogging is a better way to go.
Huh. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. Maybe blogging is a more commonly used tool among people. Maybe more people know what a blog is. Maybe more people have their own blogs. I don't know.
Wiki wasn't the word of the year 2 years ago.
Let's make sure everyone knows who's listening out there what a wiki is. It's a web page or website that anyone who goes there can really edit. So you can lock it down so only your community members can edit it, but it really is the idea that anyone can edit the page, which is what Lori's talking about, that she wants the people coming to the Commons, if I'm getting you right, Lori, to really be involved with directing the way it happens.
Yes, and it isn't my first time trying anything like this, so even if people choose not to participate this time, it would be great if they emailed me suggestions for improving it in the future, because I do think that this format of collaborating with people beyond your own school's physical space is the way to go. And I, you know, the more people who can figure out how to make that happen, the better.
Yeah,
Alex.
I definitely see, what'd you say, Arvin?
Oh, go ahead, Alex.
I definitely see the wiki as an amazing format. I mean, in the past week on the New York City listserv, there's been a whole conversation about podcasting and whether or not you have to go to the Apple certified training.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
At $500 for 2 days. And so we took some of that and I built a structure that we could fill in pretty quickly and create some amazing professional development resources for faculty on the School Computing Wiki. But I think people, the whole living on the web and spending a lot of time there and being comfortable editing there, it takes time.
Yeah, it does take time, but backing up to what you just said, how you put something together, I think that among all the people out there, all the teachers, we probably have the ability to provide for one another some incredible professional development. And we always, you know, sometimes you think you have to go to an expert, but a lot of us already are experts or are willing to put ourselves out there to help move professional development along. And in doing that, we help get professional development going, and we model ways to do it, and we all learn from one another, and I'm not sure we always have to pay a lot of money to an expert.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, just for people, what Alex was mentioning earlier is someone put out on the New York Independent Technologist Group a post about Apple having a podcasting workshop, and people started, you know, the list went a buzz so quickly about, let's do this ourselves. Why do we need to pay Apple? We're educators who are in schools right now, and we have the expertise among us. Let's rally together. And I just thought that was, and I was blown away. I thought it was great.
Yeah, but the Apple certified training, you get an iPod.
Yeah, we can't. They have us beat on that one.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with that, I tell you what.
Kerry only offered donuts, right? Donuts and milk or cookies?
Cookies and milk, yeah.
Not quite
an
iPod.
An inside conversation, sorry. So, Lori, do you want to take us through the website a little bit, maybe?
Oh, sure.
For those visual learners out there who can browse along with the podcast.
The URL for the wiki is colcom, that's colcom, .editme.com. And when you arrive, you're going to find an opening message just welcoming you to the site. Alex, this is what you meant, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You'll find an opening message welcoming you to the site. And if you've never been there before, you will probably be asked to register, or you can register. There should be a link on the right-hand side. And when you register, a message gets sent to me saying such and such is trying to register, and then I go ahead and let you become a member of the wiki. And that's done so that there's a little bit of control over privacy and security. And then when you get back to the wiki and visit it, there are a whole bunch of links on the right that tell you how the Commons began, The schools where people initially expressed interest in participating. And there's a link for who we are, where I've broken up the people who are, I believe, truly going to participate by subject area. And the idea there was to sort of create our own little MySpace, our own little social site, where we can put pictures of ourselves and write a little about ourselves and what we do at our schools. And that's so people can have something to see and get a sense of, in fact, who we all are. There's a link for the initial ideas, which are the ideas that I initially had for how to fashion the collaborative commons. There's a link for resources, and other people have indeed added to that page. There's a link for keynote questions. I have this idea that either by DVD or possibly posting on Wiki, there will be a little video to kick off the collaborative commons that people can use at their own schools. There's a question and answer section. There is a link for Wiki directions that takes you through the steps of how to edit a page, put your images on. And there's also a new link, just a few days old, called Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Which
I love that title.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I just edited it.
There you go. And that is sort of, okay, what do you do first? Well, the first idea was maybe to develop a common vocabulary, and there are some links to webcasts, including this one.
Thank you.
Some Wiki pages. And for blogging, for wikis and webcasts, the idea being that going on the assumption that there were going to be people doing the collaborative commons who might not know what this all is, here's a way to start learning about it. And I know I will be adding more links over the next couple of days, and I must give you guys a plug and say that, you know, I said this has been an ongoing process. A lot of the ideas I have come out of listening to your webcasts and then listening to the NCQ webcasts.
Love NCQ Talk. Those guys are really great.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I found out about them through a link that one of you may have posted somewhere. So I think to me it's kind of cool because, again, I'm learning as I go along, and I'm learning from you guys who are colleagues, and it's very much, I guess, a symbiotic process, if I'm using that correctly.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I have been able to learn so much so quickly in the last couple of years as the amount of information that we're sharing is just, it's sort of like growing infinitely quickly. And before, whereas, you know, you'd wait for a month to head to a workshop on blogging, and then you'd learn how to do it, and you'd go back to your school. Now I can just read stuff on the web, I can collaborate with people online and get it done in a couple of days. It's just, the speed has really changed for me.
Oh yeah, I agree. And it's very satisfying. And again, you may have mentioned the school computing wiki pages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're incredibly informative. And again, that's all of us sharing what we know as experts. Or even when we may not be experts, but someone will come along and correct us if we goofed.
I have this compulsion. I feel like I have to update everything. And I get these urges at 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
I know.
Yeah. You need at least 8 hours of sleep, Alex.
With 3 under 5, I'm lucky to get 4.
Well, this is a little bit off topic, but I had to chuckle when I thought our oldest child is almost 22. And so back in 1984 when he was born and I had to get up at 2 a.m. and feed him. I can remember, and this may sound horrible, but if you're a tech person, you might understand. One of the ways I helped keep myself awake is I sat down in front of our computer, which was fairly brand new, and there was a small group of 15 people who could chat on a message board that someone was running off of their company's computer, and that's what I did to keep myself awake. So.
Wow.
I listen to podcasts, Lori. It's the 2006 version of staying awake in the middle of the night. I actually have notes written on little envelopes while walking around with our daughter. And I'm listening to NCQ Talk and saying, I got to get that site down. 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, if I can just put a plug out again for who's ever listening or whoever listens live or later on, feel free to join us. The Collaborative Commons is there for everyone, and if you're an IT person, grab at least one member of your faculty who's not an IT person and get them to participate, please.
So, Lori, can you give us a little sense of when they get there? So they come to the Commons, what's their experience going to be like there?
Yeah, I'm actually, as people register, I collect their emails, so I will be sending an email out with this information as well. But okay. The first thing they'll do, either before they get there or when they first sit down
at www.spatialaudio.com,
is hopefully we'll go through the different resources located on the shake, rattle, and roll page, so that
at www.spatialaudio.com, you'll feel warm and squishy inside.
Pages that they've read. Then the next step is to get them either through email or through blogging or through the wiki page to start having a conversation with everybody else about these tools. And I'll throw up a bunch of questions to get people started. And I'll just say one of the nice things about this is it doesn't necessarily all have to happen over the same 3 days, because except for video conferencing, it's not really live. I mean, you're posting someplace and someone can come read it at their leisure, their convenience. So if the conversation starts on June 12th, it can continue for as long as people want to keep it going. And if some people don't join the conversation until June 20th, that's fine too. Because hopefully the people will keep coming back to the wiki pages or the blog. And then once they start talking about the tools, you know, there are all sorts of questions, like how can I possibly get an English teacher from my school collaborating with an English teacher in California, and maybe they think it would be cool to set up a blog of poetry for their kids. Or maybe some other teachers will say, we don't want to use this with our kids, but maybe we can use this as a tool for ourselves over the year to explore it more as a group. It could go off in any direction that people want to take it in. The one aspect that does require participating during the 3 days in June, which actually I think are the 13th, 14th, and 15th, would be that I'd like to do some video conferencing between participating schools, so again, teachers can see what that's like, can see people face-to-face, well, or video-to-video. And then I haven't figured out how to sort of tie it all together yet, if people participate over a span of time that goes beyond those 3 days, but I would like some sort of way to have some closing activities, so if people feel like, okay, I jumped in and this is what I achieved during the time. That's still formulating.
Having just gone through an online experience like that, Arvin and I are actually part of this Webcast Academy.
Mm-hmm.
The whole culminating event is a difficult thing to organize online.
Oh, interesting. And I know if we have people from around the country participating, we surely can't get everyone together in person. Right.
Arvin and I can host the culminating event webcast.
Oh, there you go. Would you really do that?
I think we could, huh,
yeah,
Arvin?
Of course.
No doubt.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never Skyped before until doing this, so.
This is very easy.
Yeah, it's very, very easy. And I only learned thanks to you guys.
And Skype has just announced until the end of the year that from your Skype on your computer, you can call anyone in the U.S. or Canada for free. Call their actual home phone line right through Skype.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You just need a computer that's fast enough.
Yeah, right.
Don't use that old junky one.
And you bet.
Although I got it.
Oh, go
I
on.
Got it working on Linux this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Which was a little fun.
Yeah.
Been experimenting there.
Yeah. I think the Collaborative Commons really has so much potential for us with this distance learning. I mean, that's a lot. I feel like I hear a lot more distance learning discussion in public schools than in independent schools. I'm not sure why that's happening. But for professional development, there's like, I'm looking at your participants page, and these are people I've, you know, read emails from and heard and just only know them through the electronic world, and I know they're smart people, and I want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
And this is such a great way to meet someone from California or meet someone from Boston who I'm probably not going to get the chance to meet in person ever, but I can really learn from them if I join the comments here.
Well, who knows? Maybe if this takes off in a year or two, we'll have our own little collaborative commons gathering at like a NEC conference or something.
There you go. So I have the synchronous and asynchronous.
Well, that gets all kinds of learners, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely think that that's having the ability to do it synchronously or asynchronously helps, because one of the things that I've found is that getting to conferences gets a lot harder as you have a family.
Yeah.
It gets bigger. And so I didn't make it to the Technology Directors Conference this fall, but I listened to it as a podcast, and that's really what got me going on all of this stuff in some ways. So I think there's a compelling argument for professional development via podcast.
Well, I agree. I had a similar instance with the NYSE Mohonk Conference for IT directors. I couldn't make it, but I listened to Alan November's podcast of it.
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yep. No.
Sorry.
I just used a different word. I never describe it the right way.
Well,
conference
it's good
for,
to know.
When I turned down the volume so you didn't get the feedback, I have to work really hard at hearing what you're saying.
Yeah, you gotta wear the headphones.
We'll send you a set, Lori. Arvin, you were going to say something?
No, I was saying that it's good to hear that there's two people that I'm talking to right now that both benefited from the Nice Ace podcast. I mean, I think Vern put that together, and wow, what a great testimonial to how well it can work and how much impact it can have. We've started this radio show. Lori's working on a collaborative conference online, you know, partly inspired by that. That's real testimony to how podcasts work.
Definitely. I think it's an amazing medium. And if you follow some of the big podcasters who go to different conferences,
yeah,
you get these keynotes that you would never be able to actually listen to.
Right.
And that's been an amazing professional development experience for me. I really enjoy the whole medium.
Yeah, some of those keynotes are really just the keynotes in themselves can make you think of things in entirely new ways.
Right.
Yeah, and I would almost add to that that listening in the relative peace and quiet of your own home or office, it's a different experience than being there in person, and sometimes, at least for me, it's easier to process it on my own without all the distractions of being in a room with a lot of other people.
Sure.
Like your email client dinging? That's what I'm always checking email at the Mohonk Conference.
No, that wasn't me!
Well, that was a fast half an hour, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
If you're going to be ending this, I just want to thank you both very much for inviting me to participate. I've enjoyed the whole process of listening to you guys, of being part of today. So thanks.
We really appreciate you coming on, Lori. I think you have a great opportunity here to share resources across the country and beyond. And hopefully people listening will join your efforts at the Collaborative Commons.
Thank you.
You and Fred are changing the world, Lori. You truly are, really.
Yeah, just ask our kids about how they feel.
We'll just read their blogs, Lori.
Are you doing something else, Mom?
No, but Fred walked in about 5 minutes ago, so he's trying to smile without making noise.
Hi, Fred.
Hi, guys.
You're on our hit list, Fred.
What?
What?
He's on our interview hit list.
Yeah. Backing him down.
So, thanks, Lori. We really appreciate it. You're our first guest, and this is really exciting. It really is nice to get a third person into the conversation.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I got to have the honorable distinction of being the first guest.
And for this day, I'm going to end the show right now. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will catch you next week at 1 p.m. Topic to be discussed.
Yeah.
We would recommend homework for everyone. go to the Collaborative Commons website and register and get involved. Have a great week.